My next guest has spent a number of years working fly-in, fly-out across Australia. He's a Sparky by trade. Sorry, if you don't know tradie talk, that's electrician. So in his last 12 months, Ryan Baker has turned his mind to mental health, namely that of his fellow site workers. And in doing so, Ryan has realised that the safety culture on site that's designed to keep everyone alive and well, which it does, is actually having wider implications for the crews when they head home. This morning, I'm going to be joined by Ryan to talk about his discovery and the work that he's doing to help improve the mental health of his fellow site crew. Ryan, how are you?
Good, thanks, Willie.
It's great to have you on. Okay, so give us a bit of insight. What is the mental health of FIFO workers in Australia like?
Yeah, so the mental health Australia-wide is quite bad, particularly over in the West. So I know the Pilbara is probably one of the worst in Australia. So for them, you're seven times more likely to die of suicide as you are from a workplace incident. So yeah, as you can tell, that's quite high.
Wow, that's pretty intense. And so you've made a really interesting connection about the safety mindset on site and mental health. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, so what I realised when I went back into the industry after studying a fair bit of psychology and neuroscience, so there's a saying that they say in psychology is neurons that fire together wire together. And what that basically means is your brain is very malleable. And so we can, if we think the same thoughts over and over, that neurological pathway or them neurons fire over and over, which makes that pathway much thicker. And then once you've got a thicker pathway, obviously a thought is just an electrical signal. Electricity goes down the path of least resistance, which means then that you have that recurring thought over and over and over, and it can become rumination, which is, that's how a lot of people get stuck in a rut.
Right.
And then, when I sort of realised that, I know that that's what happened in my life. And then I was looking at the safety culture, and the safety culture on site really amplifies looking for what's wrong. So you're always out there analysing the job, looking for hazards, looking for the negative side to the job, looking for what could go wrong constantly. Even like the supervisors, they get praised for looking for things that could go wrong that most likely will never go wrong. And I started to think, well, if we're doing this for 12 hours a day, for 2 weeks straight, 3 weeks straight, 4 weeks straight, all that's doing is reprogramming, retraining our brain, making them neurological pathways to look for the negative, look for what's wrong all the time. And then when we go home to our families, our friends, we tend to do the same thing with them. You know, what's wrong with their life? What's wrong with their partner? What's wrong with their kids? And it's not through their fault, it's just that they've been programmed to think that way through this very stringent safety culture on site.
Oh my God. Okay. So have you been talking to guys at site once since you've made this kind of mindset? Because for me, when, as you say that, I kind of had this light bulb moment of, oh my God, yes, I can totally see that. What's the reaction been to guys on site when you've spoken about that?
Yeah, pretty much exactly the same. And people are like, why did we not think of this earlier? Like, it just makes so much sense. Yeah, it just makes so much sense. And I don't know why. Well, I haven't seen many people, or anyone, in fact, make that connection. And to me, that just seems crazy because it does make so much sense. And I know in my life how, you know, once I started to retrain my brain and, you know, that's what started to make the big difference because I was definitely in that culture where, you know, everything was always negative, you know, always looking for what's wrong. And, yeah, it just totally made sense for me. And most people that I talk to say the exact same thing. So, yeah.
So what inspired you to get involved with mental health?
So for myself, I'm a third generation sufferer of anxiety. So my granddad, my dad, and myself. And then sort of when I left school, to deal with it, I started taking a lot of drugs. And then I spiraled down to a really dark place. And then from there, I basically remember lying in my bed one night and I was thinking, I'm either going to check out here or I'm going to try and fix myself or sort this out. And I promised myself that if I did, that I'd dedicate the rest of my life helping other people do the same.
Oh my God. Wow, Ryan. And so I can imagine it's a constant journey for yourself in terms of looking after your own mental health, but then it's also a very rewarding journey dealing with other people and helping them through it. What are some of the positive feedback that you've had from people who you've helped?
Oh, it's been absolutely amazing. Like some of the testimonials and the text messages and stuff that I get of people just saying, like, you've completely changed my life. And, you know, there's no greater feeling, I don't believe, in the world than knowing that you've changed someone's life or, you know, potentially stopped them from doing something quite serious.
So. Yeah. And you've also started to do some work with young people in schools. Why? How did that come about?
That was funny. So one of my old school teachers just started following my journey and she's seen, like, what I was doing. And she's like, oh, look, I love your post. And they are starting to focus a lot on mental health in schools at the moment. And she's like, oh, would you mind coming and speaking to the kids? And I was like, yeah, cool, then, no worries. Went up there and did 4 presentations to all the school at year 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And the feedback I got was absolutely amazing. So, yeah, so now I'm starting to think, you know, this is ground level. This is where we need to start teaching the kids early so they have an understanding when they get out into this big, bad world and they can sort of navigate the challenges and sort of not get themselves into a rut because they understand how the mind works and how we can actually program it to think and feel how we want it to think and feel.
Yeah. If you could go back and tell little 14-year-old Ryan Baker what the world had ahead for him, what would you say?
Oh, buckle in, you're in for a ride.
Oh, Ryan, that is awesome. Hey, look, thank you so much for joining us this morning and talking about the really important work you're doing. We are going to put a link to your site on our podcast here so people will be able to access it there. Ryan, have a fabulous day, hey?
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye.